You're listening to the World's Team Podcast. It's not just America's team, Cowboys Nation. It's the world's team. Now, here are your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
How about them Cowboys?
Hello and welcome to another episode of the World's Team Podcast, powered by FanJo Sportsbook on the Believe Network and proudly sponsored by Cowboys Experience, your number one spot for stadium tours, tailgates, and the full Dallas Cowboys experience. I'm Paul Stewart and joined as always by my co-host Mike Poland. Today we are going to break down the Dallas Cowboys versus the Chicago Bears, and we'll cover all the latest injury reports, key matchups to watch, and what the Cowboys need to do to keep that momentum going. But yeah, Mike, how's it going?
Yes, good. Calming down after a nail-biting Notre Dame versus Aggies game that was then followed by a just as bad nail-biting overtime game with the Cowboys.
Yeah, that I still can't get that craziness at the end of that game.
Just that was wild.
But yeah, but Brandon Aubrey's getting all the flowers he deserves right now, and rightfully so.
Does he deserve to be the highest paid kicker?
1,000%. Not even 100%. 1,000%. He deserves to be the highest kicker paid ever. Yeah. Like, I mean, like, how many times has he actually kept us within distance of actually potentially winning the game? Mm. When it's pretty much been the Brandon Aubrey show, when our offense has been that depleted. So I think Aubrey deserves that. He's kept us alive in certain games, even though we may have lost, but only by a fraction. But it's all mainly just down to Brandon Aubrey of how accurate he's been kicking. But other than that, we are off to Soldier Field this week, Mike. Weather depending. The rumor has it is going to rain in this game. But I know, how exciting times. Just another thing we wanted to hear is weather, especially after that Eagles game in week one. But yes, in terms of going into week three, the Dallas Cowboys are 1-1 so far this season. The Bears are 0-2. They lost to the Detroit Lions by quite a fair bit, showing a lot of defensive struggles from their back-to-back losses. But Mike, what does the Cowboys need to do to avoid being underdogs on the road and reestablish control and keep their momentum going?
The big one is the Bears secondary is depleted. So attack. So you want to establish, get some easy plays going because you're on the road, silence the crowd, get Lamb, get Pickens, attack that secondary as much as you can. That then, obviously, by doing that, is going to force Montez Sweat and the like to have to play slightly differently. When they start to try and attack around the edge, that's when you just bring Javonte Williams in and you just say, go. And then it's basically past setting up the run is how I feel.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And in terms of likes of the Bears right now, I believe, and you can correct me on this, they are currently last in the red zone defense right now in the league.
Which is 8 touchdowns in the red zone in 2 games.
In fairness, a lot of them did come from the Detroit Lions, but still, it's not a good start for the Bears, especially for their new head coach, Ben Johnson, who was pretty much the highest touted coordinator last year. Like, everyone wanted him as their head coach, whether it was the Jags or whoever that may be. Even with us as Dallas Cowboys fans, we really wanted Ben Johnson, but he's not had the best of starts in Chicago right now.
No, I mean, his style is very different. A lot of RPOs, play action. The trouble is if you're playing from behind all the time, it kind of, like, you never get to dip into that bag. So that's why I'm saying you attack early. You get some easy plays in there to get rhythm. And that also helps your offensive line as well, especially with the fact that you've got Brock Hoffman playing center. So you're gonna have to do some bits and pieces there to help him out a little bit. Other than that, I think the offensive line should hold up in this game good enough. The issues really for the Cowboys is kind of like what the Bears have. It's the secondary on defense.
Yeah. Well, funny that you mentioned Brock Hoffman, who will be our starting center, but obviously the big news right after the game last week is that Cooper Beebe is going to be out for, I believe it's 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6, yeah. High ankle sprain.
Yep, so get well soon, Cooper. We can't wait to see you come back. And it's a good step up for Brock Hoffman to show how reliable he has been for the Cowboys. And, I mean, I keep going back to this one particular game last year, Mike, which was against the Giants, funny enough, where he used mental warfare. And, like, I've never seen before from an offensive lineman really go into the head of Dexter Lawrence last year. Mm-hmm. And just showed a little bit of bulliness about him. So I'm thrilled to see that, to see what Brock Hoffman can do, given he's going to be our starting center for the next coming couple of weeks. But in relation to that, with the injury to Cooper Beebe, help me with the full injury report, Mike.
Well, the injury report for Dallas is really, really easy. It's De'Ron Bland.
That's it, folks. It's just De'Ron Bland. Yeah,
they did have some on Wednesday's practice report, like Trayvon Diggs with illness. You had Tyler Guyton on there and Kevontae Turpin, but since they've all been on the field, I was watching social media earlier on in the day. Kevontae Turpin on there straight away, and I was like, yes, because Kevontae Turpin, ironically, in the Giants game, was kind of like the mismatch, and when he was injured and had to go off, you noticed the offense, it didn't lose a beat, it just had to change slightly because there was less of a threat. But Turpin at the moment is definitely making a name for himself.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but to help me with the Chicago Bears injuries, because they are running into quite a few issues themselves.
So I mean, they obviously we'll start with the big one, which is the cornerbacks. So you've got Jalen Johnson, Jalen Jones, both out, and Kyler Gordon as well. Since then, we've had TJ Edwards is a non-participant. We've got DeMarco Jackson, the linebacker. There's also DeAndre Swift is limited, which is quite a big one, to be honest with you, because Swifty isn't a bad running back. Just kind of has been unlucky with the way he's just kind of gone with things since he's entered the NFL. But, you know, because of the way the Bears play, having a guy like Swift on the team is quite important. The Cowboys in run defense hasn't been bad. It's had moments of inconsistency, but it isn't bad. Having a guy like Kenny Clark in the middle has really, really helped the inside.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, I didn't expect Kenny Clark to have that immediate impact with the interior. Like our average of giving up yards in the running game is drastically decreased already. True. from what we've witnessed from these two games. Mm. I just hope we can continue that momentum going forward. And not to mention when it comes to the addition of Jadeveon Clowney, we definitely add more to the pass rush. So, and you know me, Mike, I've always been a big Clowney fan.
Yeah, ever since,
like the 2014 draft, I believe it was when he was drafted, came from South Carolina. He made that one play during college, absolutely knocking the helmet off. I can't remember who it was against. I can't remember for sure, but that one play really elevated him to be that number one overall pick. And the one thing about Clowney for me is he has been consistent, unlike his tenure at Carolina, where he was more utilized as an outside linebacker at times. And that's where he saw the decrease in production. Because I'll be honest, I think he was played out of position, my personal opinion. Because he's a pure pass rusher. And he can stop the run also. He can do that.
Has 108 career tackles for loss. Yeah. Over an 11-year career, which is just insane.
Yeah, and his total sack count is like way above 40 anyway. Within his...
Oh, it's like 56, I believe.
Yeah, so really, really break it down on average. You're talking about, what, 9 sacks per season, really, in that type of ballpark. But, yeah, to have someone like that and kind of help tutor the likes of Donovan, Isaraku, Sam Williams, who, me personally, I think he has kind of evolved a little bit, even though he's not getting the stats to say that he's making these tackles for losses, but he is creating these pressures on quarterbacks right now. Like, and he was the main guy that put that pressure on to Russell Wilson to force that interception by forcing that offensive lineman back into the backfield. So yeah. I think Sam's doing a great job right now. I hope he progresses and get to learn from Clowney of some things that might elevate his game a little bit. Someone with that like proper veteran experience has done, has been there, been it all, has been like multiple sacks per season. So I hope that he'll take that on board. But yeah. But looking at the key matchups, Mike, so we've kind of briefly talked about Javonte Williams, etc., where the Chicago Bears defense, in terms of the run game, are giving up a 148.5 rushing yards per game. Not a great statistic from their part. So they've got holes in their run game in terms of, they've got holes in stopping the run. We're seeing, and we've been proven all wrong. Javonte Williams is actually really proven us all wrong here. We wanted to excited when we signed him, thinking it just would have been one of those guys it would come in for the year, do a little bit in that, averaging maybe like 600 yards a year, a couple of maybe one or two touchdowns. But no, he's been steamrolling, getting the ball rolling. And even with Miles Sanders in that last game, he stepped up from what he made from his mistakes from the previous game against the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, Miles Sanders scores the touchdown, so that kind of like puts him back square again. But Javonte Williams, as you say, been fantastic. In total rush yards this season, he ranks seventh among all running backs. So that tells you a lot. Had a really good game last week. His first game against the Eagles was instrumental as well. And it's quite important because the Cowboys need that running game. Because otherwise everything becomes so lopsided and
predictable.
Defenses can kind of just, okay, we'll bracket CeeDee Lamb. But this is the type of game where the passing game is definitely going to support Williams. And then what he needs to do is take those opportunities when he's given them. Because if he can do that, and the offensive line becomes important here, especially with Brock Hoffman, to get into that second level and start just trucking through people to create holes for Williams, the game then becomes all lopsided.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And what about Miles Sanders? What do we expect more from him going into this game, even though he is pretty much running back number two in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, you're having him in to spell for definite. You're just keeping Williams out there as much as you can. And then Sanders is coming in when Williams is just like, man, I need a break here. And that's exactly how he was used last week. So, yeah, I mean, what you're hoping for with Sanders is, the concern is the speed. The speed, once he's away and he's got green grass ahead of him, he seems a tad slow or slower than what he used to be. But what you're hoping for is that he can continue the momentum that Williams lays out for him, and obviously not to make silly mistakes like putting the ball on the ground.
Yeah. Moving on from the running game, looking at the passing game. So the Dallas wide receiver corps versus the Bears depleted secondary, as you kind of mentioned in the injury report. So yeah. CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Turpin,
Jake Ferguson.
Is this a game where we can really exploit this secondary with all the injuries that they've got right now?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, like, they're absolutely leaking and bleeding in that secondary, much like the Cowboys, but for them it's even worse. They're missing multiple pieces in the secondary. So you're looking to just get Lamb to take as much out of it as you can, leaving the rest of the guys to absorb the rest of the targets and make the most of that. Once they've got it, once they get that ball, you know, and they get open, Dak loves to, throw when his guys is open. This is the type of game where you should see that. I believe that Dallas, I think they rank third, I believe, in receptions. and the Bears' defense are averaging 9.9 yards per reception, which ranks last.
Yeah, so in terms of that, yeah, it seems very favorable for the Cowboys. In terms of, like I said, the other side of the ball when it comes to our defense, with the addition of Jadeveon and Clowney, as we already kind of mentioned, do you think this will actually bring more of that threat to really put the pressure on, like, say, Caleb Williams? Like, do we really feel like that with Clowney now and there, we can actually now have that proper pass rusher influence for the rest of the defensive line, just kind of like what Kenny Clark did with the run game?
Yeah, you're hoping that's what it'll get to. I think you've got to think he's only just got in the building. He's not even going to know where the changing rooms, you know, where things are. So it's going to take time. So I think this game, you've got to think Clowney has good, he's got good reach. He's got good length to him. And that's just what he's good at. So what you're hoping for is that you're going to see Fowler and Williams kneeling on early downs. Once you get to third down, you know, then you can start putting Isaraco in there for his speed, but sprinkle a bit of Houston in there, and you'll put Clowney on then just to try and see if what you've got to play with. Third down, I think, in this particular game is where it's at. And the you know, especially you think he's got the veteran experience as well of saying to himself, right, we've got Caleb Williams. He's mobile. He likes to move around quite a lot, likes to scramble to extend those plays, play out of structure. Clowney's the type of guy who's just like, just stay in your rush lane. Stay on your line. Don't let him just like escape and rush out. On third down, where it's really important, you don't want those plays to happen. Clowney's ideal on the, in that situation because he's got the longer reach too. If he is trying, if Williams tries to sort of buck it out onto the outside, Clowney's going to be there. He's going to be able to get to him quick and soon enough. So that's the sort of place where I think you'll see Clowney this week.
Yeah, it really depends if Clowney is on the strong side or the weak side of where the offense is like kind of like lined up and how Williams kind of bootlegs out. It really depends on how he escapes the pocket. But that's one thing that I really want to talk about, mate. Not just like the issue that we've got right now, I feel like is we still have the same issue when it comes to these mobile quarterbacks, is we're missing that spy in some regard. Mm-hmm. Like, and we've talked about this on our other show on the UK Cowboys Fans podcast, kind of talking about like our linebackers, etc., where when the quarterback tends to kind of roll out and run with the ball, there seems to be no one there because we're so fixated in terms of putting the pressure on and collapsing that pocket, but it leaves no one there to kind of like read what's happening between the lines and reading what the quarterback's doing. So is there any concerns at all going forward?
It's missing Overshown, simple as. That's what it's missing. Leifau is fine. You know, people keep saying you could use him. He's fine in that regard. The issue is it's the cerebral side of it all. Second year, you know, playing a quarterback spy, you really got to read those landmarks on what, because you don't want to commit too early and leave a massive gap in there. But you also don't want to delay it because then you're just taking yourself out of the game. So it's all about timing and being cerebral. So I think maybe perhaps that's why we're seeing Leifau kind of like not quite there, because you're seeing the similar thing with Jaden Blue. People keep saying play Jaden Blue. Why aren't we playing Jaden Blue? The reason is playbook, the mental aspect of it all. He's just not quite there yet, and I think that's probably the similar thing that Eberflus has seen in Leifau.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing I'm kind of quite surprised, because like, to my understanding, Leifau is one of those guys. I'm not quite comparing him to Sean Lee, but there's characteristics of what Leifau does, what Sean Lee did. Like, in terms of like, Sean Lee was not the most athletic linebacker out there, but he was always at the right place at the right time. Leifau kind of reminds me of that, and he likes to really like understand game film and kind of improve from that. You would like to think that would be like something that Eberflus would actually really appreciate. Whether like we're kind of holding off on Leifau right now, like, and planning for certain situations, we just don't know. I would love to see Leifer get more opportunity, but then again, if that's the way we're going to go forward with likes of Sanborn, which, let's be brutally honest, he didn't have a great game against the Giants. It was quite, he kind of got exposed, especially during the seams.
Yeah, I agree. The issue is they're trying to play a guy who's not built to cover the seam. You know, he's this Mike linebacker in the middle who's designed to defend the run, and you're asking him to drop into coverage. And when you've got issues in the secondary, you know, you're missing pieces. All right, Kyle Elam, he is what he is. Trayvon Diggs is looking like he's coming along, but that's really about it. You've got issues with Donovan Wilson playing as a cover high safety, which is not where he needs to be. And then you're asking Jack Sanborn to cover the seam and drop back. And it just the issues of the three things combined just don't make sense. And then that makes Jack Sanborn look worse than what he actually is.
Yeah, I mean, and that, like I said, like, I think Sanborn's a great linebacker when it comes to stopping the run.
Absolutely fine. Yeah.
But when you're trying to make him to do something that I wouldn't say he's not familiar with it. I think it's just not his best attribute. That's probably the nicest way of putting it.
Yeah.
And to that point, do you think this is something where, and you already kind of mentioned likes of Donovan Wilson there, is this something for likes of Caleb Williams can actually exploit during this game?
So in terms of the linebacker position, he can, but that depends on whether he can. It depends on the Cowboys' defensive line. If they've got to play it smart and play it patient. Mm-hmm. If they overrush or they are bringing too much heat, Caleb Williams will make you pay, and he'll run. With a linebacker situation that it's in, that's the sort of place where Caleb can absolutely take it to the house. He can have a big, big game. So I think it's dependent on the defensive line, the front, to ensure that they do their job to help protect the linebackers.
Yeah, like, I think for me, like, in terms of personnel that's on the field, and we kind of, we kind of talked to this on our other show, is like, if we're just having, like, Donovan Wilson being that single safety, like, in terms of zone coverage, I would be concerned that if we are having like that two safeties in the backfield, I would feel more comfortable about, like, given those kind of scenarios. I think there is, depending on who's on the field and how we're lined up, I think Williams could potentially exploit that in some way or capacity, and that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, I mean, you go too high, you're basically asking Caleb, or the Bears offense, you're daring them to run at you. The way that the Bears' offensive line is, that left tackle position can definitely be exploited. You can attack there. There's issues over on the left. On the right, complete opposite mind. It's much better. The offensive line itself isn't actually... It's bad on the left for definite, but it's made worse with what's going on there because of Caleb Williams trying to extend plays and play out of structure. So because that happens, offensive linemen aren't able to sustain blocks for as long as that he wants. And then you're just given opportunity, which is why the pressures and the sacks are coming.
Yeah, totally. Well, with that being said, it's time to look at the FanDuel Sportsbook betting odds, and we'll see how the spread is working out. Has the injuries for the Bears affected the odds in any way, shape, or form? We'll find out right now. So as it is right now, the Dallas Cowboys are -1.5 on the spread. If you were to place a bet on, you're getting the odds of -104. In terms of the money line, the Dallas Cowboys are obviously favorites going into this at -116. In terms of the over and unders, it's set at 50.5 points, with the over being -110, same with the under. So either way, it's a 50-50 in terms of that. But what do you think, Mike? Like 50.5 points, does that seem about right about this game? Do you think the Cowboys could score that many points along with the Bears causing some dents as well?
Yeah, that's not bad. It's not a bad idea. When you think Cowboys are definitely going to score more than 30 points.
Also, with sports betting odds, we also see who are going to be the first time, touchdown scorers. So, in terms of the favorites to score touchdowns, it's Javante Williams, then it's CeeDee Lamb, then it's DeAndre Swift, Rome Onadunze, then George Pickens. And it's repeated from any time to first scorer and to even last scorer. So, but Javante Williams dominates from all aspects of that field. Like, as in any time, Javante Williams is set at -125. And with a scoring the first touchdown, which is, seems to be, I'll be willing to put some money on that, is +550.
Yeah.
That's good. If I was a betting man, that's what I would do. Especially knowing that the red zone defense is not the best.
The Cowboys' offensive red zone, which is ironic from last year, yeah, it's gone the other way. They rank third in red zone touchdowns.
Yeah, and that kind of points makes my point now. But yeah, there we go. There is your FanDuel sports betting odds there for the Dallas Cowboys versus the Chicago Bears. Okay, so in terms of the game, going back to the game now, what is the X factors for this game? Who are going to be the big difference makers? Is going to give the Cowboys a victory in Soldier Field and possibly one of the most hostile environments in the league.
Yeah. The X factor on offense is going to be Dak. You've got to silence, you just mentioned it now, you've got to silence that crowd. You've got to make sure that your offensive line is listening. If you're going silent count and doing a hard count, make sure that everybody's clear and aware of what you're doing. Keep the penalties down. That's the big one. Do not open the door for penalties here.
We don't want a repeat of last week. Even though it wasn't on us, it was mostly on the opposing team, which was the Giants. But still, we don't want to see any penalties.
That's the big one. Penalties. On the defensive side, is contain Caleb Williams, which really comes down to your edge rushers. Contain that. Get him in uncomfortable positions. And then all of a sudden, those out-of-structure plays that help them get first downs ends up becoming them marching backwards.
All right. Do you think maybe potentially with the weather report, which is scheduled to rain during this game, will play a big, massive factor? And if so, how would that affect the game?
I mean, when we're just talking now about a weakened secondary for the Bears, you think that means shorter passes for your wide receivers. You're not looking at a real deep game. Although it's very possible because a guy like Pickens does have good hands. You're more worried about on the opposite side with Lamb because he's had a lot of drops this season.
Yeah, so far. Yeah.
So far, yeah.
But he has been working on that. Like even after the Giants game and he's been back at the Star, he's been working on his hands, etc. That was actually the Eagles game. Sorry, I do apologize.
Yeah, it was straight after the Eagles game. He went back and, because he had four drops in that game.
That's right. Yeah. But yes, Mike, on to the fun part of the show, our final score prediction and bold prediction. So hit me with it. What is your final score prediction for the Dallas Cowboys going all the way to Soldier Field to play against the Chicago Bears?
Cowboys win this one 38. 20.
So I had a scoreline earlier, which I mentioned on the UK Cowboys. I'm going to change mine slightly as well. Kind of based on the weather, how our run game has definitely developed over the past two games, and just how the Chicago Bears injury list is quite something right now. So I'm going to go Dallas Cowboys 35, the Chicago Bears 21.
Okay, fair.
Yep.
We're not that far off from each other, really.
Not that far off. So if we can get a win with the two score advantage, that's a great win, I think, especially away from home. So
definitely.
All right, Mike, your bold predictions for the game. You can give me one offense, you can give me one defense, you can even give me one in special teams, but hit me with it.
All right, I'll give you this one. My bold prediction for this game, George Pickens over 100 yards and a touchdown.
All right, okay.
That's my offense one.
I wouldn't say that's bold. I think that would be quite not a surprise, because it is due to come at some point. So, but
if you think about it, it means that Pickens has 100 yards gain before Lamb did this year.
I tell you what, I've got the most, it might be the most ridiculous bold prediction I've ever given you, mate.
Come on, then.
Jack Sanborn with a pick six. If that was to happen, oh my goodness, that would be amazing. But Jack, if you're watching, just so you know, I'm rooting for you, just so you know that.
All right, I'll give you a defensive one for me. Mine is going to be that not only does Donovan Isaraku get his first sack of his rookie career, he also gets a sack fumble.
Oh, so we're having a takeaway as well. All right, okay. All right, well, see, so you've done one offense, one defense. I will jump back to offense.
Offense, yeah.
I think this could be the red zone threat for Jake Ferguson to actually get his first touchdown in a long time. I think this, especially knowing, again, down to the Bears' injuries, I think this would be good, especially in the red zone. I think this would be a great way to get Ferguson back on the score sheet. So I am going for Jake Ferguson with his first touchdown and God knows how long. So there we go. All right. And there we have it, folks. We have our score predictions. We have our bowl predictions. Let us know in the comments what you think how the Dallas Cowboys is going to do against the Chicago Bears, playing this Sunday at Soldier Field. Be sure to hit that like button and to subscribe to the World's Team. You can find us here on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And be sure to go and follow the Believe Network and follow all the amazing shows. They cover all NFL 32 teams and all college football teams also. So be sure to go and check them out. But without further ado, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you.
You can find me on Twitter or X at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K, and you, Mr. P.
You can find me at I Am P Stu on X and Instagram. There we have it, folks. That is the end of this episode. Be sure to join us right after the game. We will be posting our instant reaction right after the game on Sunday, which would probably be available early hours in the morning in terms of if you're based here in Europe. But if you're in America, like Central Time, it would just be within like the next hour or so after the game is finished, by the time we record and get it uploaded.
Production.
By the time it's all produced. So, but yes, folks, we will see you guys on Sunday. And like as always here on the World's Team, it's not just America's team. It is the World's Team. We'll see you guys on Sunday, folks.
That's a wrap on the World's Team podcast. Smash that like button and hit subscribe, Cowboys Nation. This ain't just America's team. It's your team.
Touchdown.
It's the World's Team. Only on Believe, where real fans live.
How about them,